Breaking news coming in from Bet365, and it's no surprise. Same game parlay from Bet365 just keeps getting better.
Well, it's even easier to make a bet. Choose from the most popular markets, like hits, run line, totals, and home runs. So many to choose from.
Download the app, start building your bet, and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
What's up, everybody? Welcome back to the Fantasy Besties podcast here on this doubleheader Monday night, week 2, almost in the books. We're the Fantasy Besties here, and you could find us now on the Razzball YouTube channel, where you could also find the show on Razzball.com. And after the show, the audio gets uploaded onto Razzball.com also. Another thing you can find on the Razzball YouTube channel: every Sunday, they do a live start sit show from 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. Eastern. It's an awesome show. Bobby Lamarco hosts it with whoever wants to jump in that time. You can find me over there every once in a while. You can find my written work on Razzball.com, and you can find me on Twitter at FantasyCoachJB. I'm here, as always, with three of my besties. We are missing Linda this week, but we do have Jordan Loop, Andrew Cooper, and Kevin Tompkins, and Linda might actually be joining us later, so we'll see if she hops in here. Say what's up, fellas.
What's up?
What's up?
What's up, fellas?
There you go. There you go. I was waiting for one wise ass.
The proper dad response there, right? the two, we got the two dads on top, two bachelors. I mean, I'm soon to be married, so.
Yeah, you got a month left before purgatory.
Okay. I like the background, Loop. Loop's got a new background now. Loop was a little frustrated last week because the dog kept trying to get involved in the show and kept trying to give its feelings on week one. So Loop said, you know what? I'm out of here. I'm going to change scenery here. And now he's got a nice little lodge area back there. I like the setup, Loop.
Lodging in charge.
Yeah, I decided, you know, we're on Spotify now, and we're on Apple Podcast, and we're on YouTube. You know, we're all these places. I was like, do people really want to hear from my dog and my 9-month-old? Maybe not. So let's try to go somewhere where it's slightly quieter. They can hear me talk a little bit more, which I know is a huge draw for everybody. So hopefully it sounds just a tiny bit more professional. So I've never done anything professional before, but hopefully this will be the first time for everything, you know. So.
Hey, it's worth a shot.
You've been crushing Twitter lately, Loop, dude. How many? I don't know if you can really look up likes by month, dude. But you got thousands, bro. One of your tweets had like, what, did it get close to 10,000 likes or over? You had one that was getting up there, bro.
Yeah, you know, it's when you just tweet out nonsense. There are plenty of misses too. Some people, you know, you have that meme that's like, he don't miss. I miss a lot. but you gotta keep, you know, shoot your shot. You miss 100% of the shots that you don't take, right? So for everyone that gets 3 likes, you know, you maybe get one in there every now and then that hits. So
and those likes bought that lodge that you see there today in the background.
Exactly. Those 10,000 likes on a fat Lenny post got me.
Like David Foster, you got to turn in tickets.
Bear Loop would be proud of you though, dude. I see some antlers back there, dude. Maybe some.
Some trophy fish. I can show those off real quick to the people.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
If you have any questions about those animals, send them to me, especially you, PETA.
And actually, Coop, you might get your wish one day, you know, with Loop broadcasting from there, we may get a Barry Loop guest appearance one of these days.
I'll tell you, bro. I'm not gonna lie to you. I love you guys, dude, but I've watched way more Barry Loop content than I have any of your content, dude. Watching that dude fish, like I don't even fish, dude. We don't fish up here, but I'm like watching it, and I'm like, yeah, dude, I gotta get me some Yozuri lures, bro. Like,
you don't need to fish. Just watch Barry Loop and fish vicariously through Barry.
I do, though. I do. I don't like when they hunt, though, dude. I'm like, that's super mean. Although fishing actually probably also
super
kind of mean.
Super mean.
Yeah, right? I'm just like, you know, they go like bow hunting. I'm like, nah, dude, not for me. I'm like, I'll comment on the other streams. Like, I might be the top commenter on 3B World. I might be.
He might be a moderator of the YouTube chat at this point.
I love how Coop said, yeah, the hunting part, that's super mean, after I just showed a wall of chaos.
I'm just saying, that's also, I mean, that's pretty, pretty, pretty violent. I mean, you know, population control, I get it, dude, I get it. I'm just saying.
Well, at least he's shooting it not, like, in the face. So I guess he can take that kind of solace in that.
I think that's pretty reasonable.
That is good. And speaking of getting shot in the face, I mean, we've kind of had some takes that we're going to have to go back on a little bit, and we're going to get to that. But before we do, I want to know what your favorite thing that you saw this week was. You know, there was a lot of action in week two. There was a lot that happened, a lot of exciting games, exciting finishes. But this doesn't necessarily have to be the best player or the best stat line that you saw. What was your favorite thing that you saw? And Loop, I'm going to start with you because I'm sure it has to be a homer pick for you.
Yeah, I mean, you know I've got to go with the Dolphins and Ravens game. And not just because I'm a Dolphins fan, which of course I am, but just that entire game. That was the game of the weekend by far. And there were several games that went down to the wire, but that one was just explosive. For a while there, it looked like, you know, Lamar Jackson is just going to put this thing away and there's, you know, not going to take their foot off the gas. But they let the Dolphins hang around there. And I think Tua showed that he actually can put together a really, really nice game. By far the best game of his career and maybe the best career game that he'll ever have. But 6 touchdowns and close to 500 yards. I don't think anybody thought, even in this offense, that he could put up those numbers. It was nice to see that. So Jalen Waddle, Tyreek Hill both looked unstoppable. And it was just really, really fun and nice to see the Dolphins beat an opponent like that, especially when it looked like early that they couldn't hang with them. So gives you a lot of confidence for the rest of the season.
Did Tua this week show everyone why Nick Saban told Jalen Hurts to pack his bags and take a lap, or what?
I hope so, but we'll see. But there's still those haters online that, you know, he throws a 50-yard touchdown to Tyreek Hill, and it's like he still underthrew him by like 6 inches, you know. So
dented head mouth drooling meme.
I would have thrown 6 touchdowns, except just a little better. That's what everyone on Twitter thinks, mm-hmm. right? Like,
he could throw it 70 yards from his knees.
Josh Rosen could have done that.
I like the point that you made about how they didn't pack it in. You know, the fact that, you know, they were down a lot and Tua didn't pack it in and he kept scratching and clawing at it. And we'll get to these comebacks a little bit later also. But I like that point. And of course, I kind of figured that was the favorite thing that you saw this week. But Kev, what about you? Because you had a little bounce back performance from your home team. But was it that was your favorite thing you saw in week two, or was it something else?
I mean, I'll just go with the lowest hanging fruit, I guess. Probably Miami Baltimore was my favorite thing. Just that entire comeback and that scoreathon, sweating that in DFS, because I did not have the Tua part of that, but I did at least have the Bateman to Waddle correlation with that. Plus Amon-Ra St. Brown, plus Jared Goff, plus Cooper Kupp. That was fun. Nice little Greg Dortch, cheapo, and Richie James. That was fun. By the way, ended up winning $550. So
nice, attaboy, Kev.
That's like the first decent cash I've had in DFS in like 17 years. So, not too bad there, but at least for a, the homer pick, it's nice to see the Green Bay Packers are not the demise of the Packers is greatly exaggerated. Aaron Rodgers, you know, I guess spreading the ball around. Everybody's favorite sixth round wide receiver, Allen Lazard, caught a touchdown. Packers ran the ball with authority. David Montgomery also ran the ball with authority. I guess if you're into that kind of thing, but Packers are not dead. Thanks to the Bears, who are after two games, I mean, as dead as you can get after two games.
Yeah, and it was fun to see them actually kind of bounce back a little bit. Rodgers having fun again, as fun as Rodgers can have, right? It is still kind of stoic, but I mean, it was against the Bears.
Peyote, so yeah.
But it was against the Bears, who he notoriously owns. And in the post-game interview, he had to tell exactly how many times their franchise beat the Chicago franchise. So, you know, he likes to throw those jabs. And it really kind of was a good spot to get right. It'll be a good test next week to see them against a good defense and to see them play a ferocious defense, which, Coop, before I get to you, you know, I'll just piggyback that because that was my favorite thing to see, and I'll stay on the homer trend, was to see the Buccaneers defense win a game. Buccaneers offense didn't look great. They were missing Godwin, missing Julio. Evans gets ejected. Offensive line is just in shambles, just missing players left and right. So they weren't going to win the game with the offense, and the defense stepped up and made plays at the end of the game. And that's what happened when we won our Super Bowl 2 years ago. It was the defense that stepped up and the defense that led them to a championship. So, you know, homer pick, and just watching football as a fan of defensive football, I enjoyed watching that. It was a boring game for most people that like, you know, high-flying offenses, but it was nice to see the defense step up at the end, and it'll be great to see that test next week for Green Bay, Kev. Cool. What do you got?
So for me, I got a personal one. It was great for me personally to see Christian Kirk have a good game again, dude. And he had two touchdowns this week. And here's why. Because a couple of years back, I had a dynasty team that had a bunch of running backs, terrible wide receivers. So I was like, you know what? For the season, I'm trading a running back for the best wide receiver I get. Open offer, I will take the best offer I get. I had like Saquon and Derrick Henry, awesome. And at the time, I had three other guys that I was willing to trade one of them. Kerryon Johnson was one who I highly coveted. Sony Michel plays for my favorite team. And then I had this guy, Aaron Jones. Wasn't sure if he was going to be splitting with Jamal Williams, you know. The only reason I had Aaron Jones on my dynasty roster is because I drafted Ty Montgomery in the startup, and I was like, let me just get his backup, some guy out there. So I was like, you know, take whoever you want. And the best offer I got was Christian Kirk for Kerryon Johnson. And I was like, no. I love Kerryon Johnson. You got to take somebody else. And he goes, I'll take Aaron Jones then. So I traded Aaron Jones away straight up for Christian Kirk. And that has been something I've been laughed at for a while in that league. And guess what? Those dudes are still laughing because Aaron Jones scored two touchdowns again this week. But Christian Kirk also scored two touchdowns. So can't really laugh as hard now. So I am, Christian Kirk, we're back, baby. We're not necessarily back, but we're here for the first time.
Yeah, it's like you're as 59-0 Aaron Jones, but you know what? This team ain't giving up. Christian Kirk just scored.
That's right, dude. We're so back. Oh, it'd be so
we're playing for pride.
If Aaron Jones had not as good of a game, but can't win them all. Can't get everything, right?
But you know what? Christian Kirk got paid a lot of money this year, and we talked about it a little bit in the offseason. Like, we had expectations for him in that offense that we thought would take a leap in Trevor's second year. And it was nice to see them yesterday actually show in a game that, you know, nobody probably picked them to win. They dominated that game. And Christian Kirk was a big part of that, Coop. So, you know, you got to feel good about having him on your roster right now.
Stud, dude. Yeah, he really, honestly, he stretches the field for my boy Evan Engram. That's what he does best. So.
Yeah. So, talk about your boy Evan Engram, Coop. You know, we have calls that we make here. Some of them are right. Some of them are wrong. You know, that's part of this game. That's part of us being fantasy analysts. Obviously, we have takes based on stats, based on what we see, based on history. But then when things change, and Coop, you say this a lot, when things change, when situations change, we need to adjust. You know, Kev talks all the time about not being take locked. this is something that this year, there were two calls specifically that we as a group missed on. And before I get to the big one, you talked about Evan Engram. Let's stay in the tight end realm, because Cole Kmet was a guy that we were all pretty high on. The situation was there. Coop, you know, you talk about the things that you look for in tight ends and the opportunity for tight ends. And it all lined up well for Cole Kmet. Mm-hmm. After 2 weeks, are we wrong?
I mean, here's the thing about Cole Kmet is that, like, the under everything that we liked about him, still technically kind of true, right? He played, he's playing all the snaps. This week he played like 85% of the snaps, and he, you know, he only pass blocked on one play, right? Like, so they, to put it in perspective, they only ran 41 plays, which is crazy. The normal teams run 60 to 65 in a given week, right? The Bengals last week ran 100. They ran 40, right? They ran 17 pass plays. Cole Kmet ran a route on 15 of them. Like, he's running routes whenever they're throwing. They're just not throwing. So, you know, that's the problem there, is that, you know, the target leaders in each of these games have been David Montgomery with 4 targets, Equanimeous St. Brown with 4 targets. If there were a bigger offense, a better offense that was throwing the ball, moving the ball, then he would probably fill that role. Same with Darnell Mooney. But because the offense is doing literally nothing, Darnell Mooney has 4 yards in the season. Cole Kmet has 0. And this is something that I tweeted out earlier in the offseason. I was like, look, be careful here. This is why we do yin and yang tight end. You take a safe guy and a risky guy. Both Darnell Mooney and Cole Kmet had their best games with Andy Dalton, not Justin Fields. The bet was on Justin Fields taking a step forward, and he hasn't. So I don't regret the process at all. And like I said, you were drafting Cole. You should have been drafting Cole Kmet as your yang tight end, not as your yin tight end. You should have had somebody on your roster somewhere that you could trust to start, because this guy, obviously, you can't trust him. I mean, that's the bottom line.
Yep.
Dude sucks.
Yeah. I wouldn't say he sucks quite yet. But before we keep going, look, we got a couple of trade questions here. My man George is in the chat saying he needs 25 points from Cook and Miles Sanders to bury Coop and Scott Fishbowl. Ooh, Coop, bro, are you feeling the heat from my boy George right now?
I'll tell you right, dude. Dude, George, I love George. I met him at the live draft. And, like, this Boston live draft is the most Boston league I've ever been in. Like, everybody is so mean and hilarious. It's like the best, like, it's like, you know, even Bob Gilchrist is talking trash on my timeline today. Like, it's just, it brings the Boston out, you know, like the nicest dude ever talking trash. George making memes, dude. Zach Reed making memes. Like, obviously Mike Fiella, who is literally the devil. And
but stop avoiding the question, Coop. Are you sweating right now? George got you sweating?
No, dude. He needs 25 points from his players because I'm winning. Dude, take a lap, George. Dude, you're lucky that Trey Lance broke his ankle. You would have been under the floorboards already, dog. I started Lamar Jackson. He dropped like a 50 bomb.
Ooh, wow. So George has a chance of beating you even with the Lamar performance. Kev, what do you think? 25 points from Cook and Sanders. You think he gets it?
Yeah. Sorry, but yes.
Luke, what do you think?
I mean, Dalvin Cook? Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, I think that he'll get it. I think it will be close. I think you're going to be in the fourth quarter, and it's going to be 2 or 3 points one way or the other, and it's going to be sweating it out. But I think they'll get there.
I would definitely be winning if Mike Fiella didn't draft Evan Engram the earliest of anyone in a 3,000-person tournament. And I started Cole Kmet. He got 0 points. 0.0.
That's a little rough.
Mike Fiella in that draft drafted with just a beer in his hand, no rankings. He took Evan Engram. He took Rashad Bateman, who I wrote an article on. He took Adam Thielen, who I wrote an article on. He took, dude, not only did I have Trey Lance, who got hurt, but for some reason he was rostering Jimmy Garoppolo. So Mike also has Jimmy Garoppolo. Like, that dude is the bane of my existence.
I mean, he didn't need rankings. He just read your articles and came prepared to snipe you.
Dude, that kid can't read. Are you kidding me?
George, I'm rooting for you, my man. My boys to men division brother from last year. I'm rooting for you, George. We got a trade question here. Thinking of trading Evans. Nope, don't do it. Can't trade Mike Evans. No, I'm just kidding.
Suspended.
Thinking of trading Evans, Ertz, Curtis Samuel for Debo, Kittle, AJ Dillon. Have Murray, Mixon, Jefferson, Evans, Higgins, Ertz, Deontay. Wow, he's pretty stacked here. Breece Hall, Dobbins, Samuel, Kirk, Stevenson. So will it be too many Niners if he trades Evans, Ertz, and Samuel for Debo, Kittle, and A.J. Dillon? I'd make that. As much as I love Mike Evans, I'm taking Debo and Kittle side of that deal.
Who are you going to start at tight end next week?
Whichever waiver wire pickup that Andrew Cooper's article tells me to pick up. Duh.
Our starting tight end of the football guys draft. Juwan Johnson, baby.
Yeah, boy. The usage, man. The underlying usage. He's, dude, his usage is legit 2020 Logan Thomas-esque. So keep an eye. Yeah, you loop. I see you. And that gets an eyebrow out of my boy there now.
Look, if he takes the Kittle side of that deal, right? He takes the Kittle side of the deal. He stashes Kittle. He has Kittle for his playoff run. But, I mean, that's why we have Andrew Cooper. And we can go to fantasyalarm.com and see his weekly tight end article and just pick up whoever he has as the guy to stream for the next week, 2 weeks, whenever Kittle misses time, and know you have Kittle. I mean, I think that side of the deal is a better side. What do you think, Lou?
Yeah, and I think probably the biggest reason that he's considering doing this is that he is getting back a running back. He's giving up two wide receivers, and he's getting back a receiver and a running back. So A.J. Dillon probably right now is slotting in as his RB2 behind Mixon, and I'm sure he's probably going to be playing the matchups with A.J. Dillon and Breece Hall probably, but it gives him a little bit more depth there at running back. So I'm fine with it, yeah.
Yep. Yeah, he's deep enough at wide receiver. He could do it with still having Higgins, Jefferson, Deontay Johnson. You know, I think that he's deep enough to do that. Kev, wide receiver guy, would you give up two wide receivers for a running back in the package here?
Yeah, you're getting, I mean, trading Evans, Ertz, and Samuel, you're getting the two best, you're getting the two best players in the deal, I feel, in Debo and Kittle, as far as positional scarcity goes of Kittle once he is playing. So yeah, I'm fully in with that. Go pick up Juwan Johnson and you are loving life. I like it.
All right, Leonardo, there you have it, man. Make the deal. Go ahead and make your team better. I like it. So Cole Kmet, right? Missed a little bit on Kmet. A big part of that is the fact that they're not throwing scampers in the house. You know, they're not throwing the ball a lot. They're really not passing at all. So Mooney's been a little bit of a letdown, but the volume we wanted from Cole Kmet, we're not getting, right? The volume that we are getting from Amon-Ra St. Brown is insane. And we need to have this moment here, guys. We need to have this moment. So let's, you know, moment of silence, pour one out a little bit. This is what I'm talking about. We have processes. We have thoughts. We have history. We have things that we go on that we look back at. Fourth round wide receivers that don't have character or injury concerns that are drafted to a team that's in a rebuild, a team that passed that receiver up four times themselves before they drafted him. And that process tells us, okay, this doesn't usually pan out. I mean, it's history. It's you know, you can't change what happened in history, right? But this guy, watching these games in the last 2 weeks, and I've watched these Detroit games a lot because they've been pretty exciting. So I've been watching them a lot these last 2 weeks. And watching this guy play, I mean, Coop and I both tweeted about it yesterday. Like, we might have to wave the white flag here because watching this guy play, he looks legit. He looks like a legit wide receiver. He's sharp. He's fierce. He's a good route runner. Obviously, he has that rapport with Goff. We're seeing some real stuff out of this guy to make us say maybe he is different. Maybe he is the guy who bucks history, who bucks the trend and you know, shows us that he's different. What do you guys think? I mean, I'm starting to warm up a little bit here. What do you think, Kev?
Loop, can you full screen me for a second? I have to say something to our adoring public. We fucked up big time.
Yeah, dude looks pretty good, man. What are you gonna say? Like, I was wrong. 32 NFL teams were wrong. It's the way that the cards go, including the Lions, of course. But yeah, guy can ball, man. And he only has one hurdle left, really. Assuming DJ Chark's going to be a long-term answer at split end, which he could potentially be. But if Jameson Williams comes back and he keeps that type of target share, then not much you can say. You know what I mean? It's like, on paper, not super exciting. He's not a fast dude. He's not tall. He's not big. But I mean, dude, when he has the ball in his hands, he knows how to play. And there have been guys like that in the past. I mean, as a Patriots fan, I can't be surprised to see guys, because I've seen guys like Jacoby Myers and Julian Edelman and Wes Welker were like, you know, Wes Welker was a cast off from Loop's powerhouse Dolphins. You know, they couldn't handle the offer we sent them of a like sixth round pick. They were like, you got to take him from us. So, I mean, you see it happen. These guys that on paper, they shouldn't be good. Anquan Boldin shouldn't be good on paper. Crazy slow, like molasses slow. Played for like 15 years. Awesome, right? So at the end of the day, man, it is what it is. Amon-Ra St. Brown, good player. There you go. I tweeted it out too. So clip it. Tag me. Friend me.
I've been trying to figure this out, you know, because we all missed, and it's like, what was it? Why did we all miss like this? So, and JB kind of mentioned it before, normally when you have these day three wide receivers that do break out, you know, your Stephon Diggs or your Antonio Browns, Tyreek Hill type guy, you know, they usually have something that you can point to of why they slipped. And it doesn't usually have anything to do with on the field type stuff. So I've been trying to figure out, okay, Amon-Ra St. Brown, he just seems too good to be true. There's no character concerns. He seems like a great guy. He's got the great family and the buff dad and the NFL brother. And he speaks like 30 languages, you know? So, you know, he eats
meatballs for breakfast. Doesn't stretch because a cheetah doesn't stretch before it takes down a gazelle or whatever.
Gets his creatine direct from Mark McGuire.
Yeah. So has, you know, just this great stories, the underdog. He memorized all the receivers that went ahead of him in the draft. So I've been trying to figure out like what is it? It seems too good to be true. So I started digging around and made some calls, you know, Dave Clugy style. So I made a call to the library at USC, and this is going to be breaking news. I haven't even tweeted this out yet. So it turns out he did once return a book a couple of years. That's why he slid in the draft, and we didn't know that.
Now
it makes sense why he slid. He would have been, like everybody said, he should have been a round two guy, and we would have been singing a different tune this whole time on him. So now you all know it was nothing to do with talent. So we didn't know.
Our generation's Antonio Brown.
Yep, yeah. Exactly.
It's just like Antonio Brown getting kicked out of Florida International and not having the grades to go to any school, yet announcing that he got into Alcorn State, and then them announcing that, oh, no, you didn't. And then him having to go to a fake like secondary high school where they didn't even have
classes. South Harmon Institute of Technology.
To give him fake grades. And then he had to go back to a scout who came out to visit him, and he didn't even get off his bike to talk to this guy and beg him to let him go to Central Michigan, I think it was.
Yeah. Yep.
And then that's how we got Antonio Brown. And I think that, you know, this library book incident might be just as strong as that saga. So
yeah, so I'd be a little wary moving forward. I may have broken this news even to the league. So we'll see what they do as far as stepping in with the personal conduct policy on this. You know, their punishments that they hand down sometimes don't make a lot of sense. So we'll see what a library book is versus, you know, betting on FanDuel or something. So
now, Loop, I wanted to ask you in your intrepid reporting, by the way, thank you for your due diligence. We really appreciate this. Do you know what the book was?
Yeah. Now this, it's the funny thing, because he's the sun god, right? Amon-Ra St. Brown, right? The sun god.
Tell me it's the Art of War.
No, it was actually the Twilight Saga New Moon.
So he briefly went over to the dark side, and then
guys all sparkles and shit.
He was able to come back and get it together. So.
Breaking news coming in from Bet365, and it's no surprise. Same game parlay from Bet365 just keeps getting better.
Well, it's even easier to make a bet. Choose from the most popular markets like hits, run line, totals, and home runs. So many to choose from.
Download the app, start building your bet, and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
You know, I mean, what can you say? Guy's a super megastar. You know, I ranked about 400 players, and I mean, the fact that I got that one, I decided that he was potentially not worth his ADP. Probably should be stripped of my stripes, stripped of my my press pass, you know, my expo badge.
Hey, if you ask the Twitter trolls out there, they want our heads, man. They were coming at us yesterday, and you know what? I give a lot of credit to the ones that saw our responses, saw that we had a process. There was a reason why we thought he was being overdrafted and why he would be a disappointment. But then we kind of adjusted. Like we said, this is part of the game. You see things that change the way that you think, and you have to make adjustments. You got to call audibles. And I applaud the people that see that and see that we're able to do that, because anyone could just kind of make a claim and just step back and whatever happens, happens, right? But we got to make adjustments. So, you know, to all you trolls out there, hey, hang out if you want. If you don't, peace out. But you'll be missing out, because we're the Fantasy Besties, man. We're awesome. Whether we hit a call or not, we have a lot of fun here.
The best part about my tweet where I was like, yeah, Amon-Ra St. Brown might be good, is I had people like DMing me, and they were like, dude, why don't you just admit that you were wrong? I was like, I did. I was like, yeah. And I sent him the tweet, and it was like nobody responded. I was like, oh yeah, here it is. Like, people tagged me on Reddit. They were like, ha. I was like, yeah, here you go. They were like,
oh. Yeah, I went huh. The other way. I was like, wait a second.
Is this a game? They're like, is this a game based on another game and not that huge of a deal on one player? All of a sudden, a lot of people were like, wait a second. Well, maybe I need to go touch grass. Maybe my lawn is getting a little long outside while I'm spending my life perpetually on the internet. So I think we all learned something this weekend.
That's good. Loop, you doubled down, huh?
Yeah. So you guys were all like, we were wrong. I'm sorry. We failed you and all these things. And I just went full on with the gaslight. And I said, listen, I've always been in on this guy. There's no
don't
way
check
that
my
you,
tweets.
There's no way that you can find any receipts that say otherwise. So you're wasting your time to even look. And so far, nobody's looked.
I see what you did, though, because now you're going to have people watching old episodes of Fantasy Besties and drawing more viewers to the podcast. I like your thinking.
I know for a fact you sent a huge list of players that had like Brian Hartline and Ace Sanders on it, bro. Like, I know, I distinctly remember that tweet being sent.
I just want to say one more thing before we move on to this trade. If you guys think that you're going to be prying Kyle Pitts out of my hands, you're fucking wrong. That I will take lock myself to the grave with that.
Much better usage this week, to be honest. The first week, he only played 52% of his snaps at wide receiver, and he blocked on 20% of his routes. This week, 75% of his snaps at wide receiver, only blocked on 8.5, which is only 3 routes, really, 3 pass plays. Just needs those targets.
And that's the kind of thing that you don't see, Coop, because you look at the targets. You look at the receptions. You look at the targets. You don't dig deep, and not everyone digs deep, and that's why we're here for you. And that's why Coop comes at you with that pocket sand, because it is encouraging. If you look and you dig deep, you do see encouraging signs there, and that's why we paid second, third-round prices for this guy. We're not coming off him after 2 weeks. So, but Greg might be coming off some of his guys. He got offered Mike Evans, Kittle, and Etienne for his Kamara, A-Rob, and Elijah Moore in a PPR, and he doesn't know what to do. Down week for Elijah Moore, but you saw a bounce back from A-Rob, and Kamara just missed the game, and it wasn't a good matchup for him anyway. I'm not making this deal. Are you guys?
Dude, at that point, why don't you guys just trade teams? Like, these blockbusters, sometimes I look at these trades, and I'm like, Christ, didn't you guys like these guys when you drafted them? Don't you like these players? Like, it's been 2 weeks, man. You're going to trade your entire team for that dude's entire team? Right, like, is that
that's the Toronto Blue Jays at this point, trading three quarters of their team in like what 2008?
Bonkers, bro.
This is the second time we've had a Mike Evans trade question, and I've taken the other side. Something tells you that's got to tell you something.
Yeah, I don't know, man. Yeah, I like Elijah Moore. I think he played a good chunk of snaps, as he should. The Jets did something this week compared to last week that I think a lot of people were clamoring for, and at least the fantasy world is like, thank God. The first week they had Garrett Wilson and Braxton Berrios played basically the same number of snaps. This week, Braxton Berrios played like 8 snaps, which is probably a little too many snaps for him. I mean, there's going to be punts, but like, no more Braxton Berrios, right? I think we all learned an important lesson. In terms of,
he don't matter. Elijah Moore ran 92% of the routes. Garrett Wilson's routes gonna be coming up because he did what he did on 75% of routes.
Elijah Moore, Garrett Wilson, Corey Davis. Those are your wide receivers. Easy.
Tyler Conklin, by the way, 88% of the routes, 100% of the snaps.
Yeah,
dude, Conk Daddy might have.
And he continues. And he continues. He continues to block. He has on the season more pass plays he's blocked on than targets. Just let the man be free. I would be on board with Tyler Conklin. Just no more blocking on pass plays. Let him run the routes, man. Just let him run around a bit, you know?
It just sucks that there's two receiving profiles next to him in Jeremy Ruckert and Kenny Yeboa. So he's got to block.
CJ Uzoma's been banged up. What happens when he comes back?
And the Jets were impressive, guys. I mean, we talked a little bit about the Dolphins' comeback earlier. We had some good comebacks this week, and the Jets were one of them. We had three, actually. The Dolphins came back over the Ravens after they were down 21 points going into the fourth quarter. The Jets were down 13 with under 2 minutes left and came back to beat the Browns. And then we got the Cardinals, who beat the Raiders in overtime, and they were down 20-0. Three awesome comebacks. Most of them were pretty improbable. Which was the most impressive to you, Luke?
Come on. The Dolphins was, and it was because of the manner in which it happened. They were down early. They got down big. It was a 21-point lead going into the fourth. And they could have very easily said, okay, this is not our week. Let's regroup. We'll come back at it next week. You know, you're staring down Lamar Jackson on the other side. Just when you start to get back and you have Mike Gesicki trying to do the gritty in these, you know, whatever that was, then you have Lamar take off for a 79-yard rushing touchdown. And it's just that right there, I thought was the nail in the coffin, that's it, you know. But no, so they came back, they stayed with it, and really just looked explosive in that fourth quarter. So to me, that was the most impressive, that the offense was able to do enough. It's not like they won a 21-17 game. It's that Tua was able to keep pace with an MVP quarterback, and that offense was able to do what it did. So that's why it was the most impressive for me.
Yeah, it definitely was. Kev, what about you?
It was. So I'm going to go with the games that it was not, because I do think it's the Dolphins, but that Cardinals-Raiders game, I feel like, aged me considerably, and I'm already aged considerably. Like, that game bled into, like, 8:00 Eastern. Like, that was just the most ridiculous drawn out game. It felt like Kyler Murray had about 137 chances at like the 4-yard line to score a touchdown or a 2-point conversion. It was ridiculous. So just by the virtue of wasting my time, the Cardinals Raiders game is lopped off of this. Jets Browns. I mean, the Jets coming back was pretty great. And then seeing, you know, Garrett Wilson, you know, just ball out. I mean, that dude might be the alpha. I mean, he was only the 10th overall pick. You took him in like the 9th round. Like, what the hell kind of ADP is that? Like, he might be, that's where you were taking Justin Jefferson 2 years ago. He might, you know, it's premature. It's week 2, but it's obviously.
But he could return that value. Yep.
Yeah.
You're not comparing him to Jefferson and saying he's Jefferson, but he could return that value for a draft.
Right. From where you got him compared to like the other like Drake Londons and Treylon Burks that you took earlier, like he might have the best. I mean, I think he'll have the best return on investment. So the Dolphins, for me, I mean, just being down 21, just how improbable that was. And then getting to play Marcus Grant in King's Classic and having Jaylen Waddle was absolutely fantastic. Going off for a nice 40 burger. And going 2-0 in that auction. Good to see. By the way, little sidebar, it is 7-7 Bills Titans. Reggie Gilliam with a touchdown for the Bills, Storm, who nobody rosters. And the big dog has a touchdown, Derrick Henry.
Right. I mentioned Reggie Gilliam's name on Twitter this offseason, and people were like, shut your mouth. I was like, no, he plays. He plays a little bit. Like, yeah. Every snap that Reggie Gilliam plays, not that I said he was going to score touchdowns. Obviously, I would never say that. Every snap that guy plays is a wide receiver snap where somebody's coming out of the game, right? Like, that's how fullbacks work. Because you don't put the fullback in and take the running back out. You don't take the tight end out, right? That's why fullbacks, if you have a fullback, the wide receiver three on your team is dust, right? That's the problem with the wide receiver three on the 49ers. It's going to be the problem with the Raiders. They use Jakob Johnson. It's going to be the problem with Loops, Dolphins. You use Alex Engel, right? It's a killer of the third wide receiver. So that was why I mentioned that. So Reggie Gilliam, congratulations. Great touchdown. He also has a second reception. So
Look out, Kyle
Juszczyk in those fullback leagues. You've got to look over your shoulder. There's another, boss in town. Yeah, so cool. I think you guys.
We know you're a Patriots fan. Can you say that one of the two division rivals was the most impressive comeback?
Yeah, and one was obviously way more impressive than the other. And it's obviously, as I see Loop lean in, the Jets come back.
Tell us why.
Yeah. Loop, give us a classic. Why, dude? Why? There it is. Why? To the Browns. The Browns are winning 30-17 with what? A minute left? Maybe a minute and a half? I think that's what it was.
155. They went up 13.
Dude, 30-17. And then they lose 31-30. That's cartoon stuff, man. Onside, what's the odds on onside kicks? 4%? 5%? 5% with the right wind, right? Like, it's not even. You know what I mean? Like, crazy.
Take it one step further. What's the odds of recovering an onside kick right after an extra point was missed?
Dude, what are the odds of recovering an onside kick when you're the Jets and nothing ever goes well for you?
I was not told there was math tonight. Bro.
Yeah, seriously. Once you put the Jets factor on that, dude, impossible odds. Impossible odds. But once you put the Browns factor on there, the odds go way up. Right? You got some news you can use here. Highly stoppable force going up against a tornado of decades long
movability.
Yeah, misery. The factory of sadness that is the Browns. So yeah, I mean, that game, dude, comedic errors in that game. How is that not the most fun and ridiculous comeback, dude? Hall of Fame quarterback Joe Flacco, elite playoff dragon. Where's my Flacco jersey?
Thank you, Craig. Because all this conversation about these comebacks, and nobody has brought up Joe Flacco. I mean, it was the most impressive to me because it was done by Joe Flacco. You know, like
having a Joe Flacco jersey, by the way.
I got one around here somewhere.
As impressive as the Dolphins comeback was, and what I loved about it was that, you know, they showed heart. They didn't let it just settle and take the L. They're an explosive team. They're the type of offense that is going to be fireworks. They can score quick. They got playmakers, get the ball in their hands. They could score fast and furious like we saw yesterday. So that's going to be fun to see.
You watched the Fast and Furious yesterday?
No. Yeah, I did. It was the Dolphins game.
Oh my God.
There it is. Joe Flacco.
Is that the saddest jersey you own, by the way?
Easily, bro. Easily. I walked into a bar in Boston with this on once, and people were like, dude, what are you doing? And I was like, I'm a Patriots fan.
It's like what people wear at Bonnaroo to be ironic.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, yeah, it's a Terrell Brandon Cleveland Cavaliers jersey.
It wasn't even cool when I went to Bonnaroo in 2013.
And I can't believe that Joe Flacco was able to do that. But then when you look a little deeter, guys, Joe Flacco is 18-3 against the Cleveland Browns. 18-3 in his career against the Browns. So they need to dig a little deeper into that, and you're like, all right, well, you know, maybe he's got their number like Rodgers has the Bears' number. But either way, that comeback was really impressive, and it was nice to see Garrett Wilson get involved, like you said, Kev. He could return a lot of value for people where they were drafting him. We did have a couple of questions in the chat. I know we had a trade question. Jack said he traded Jefferson, Etienne, and Bateman for Taylor, Keenan, and MT in a PPR.
If you're 2-0, if you're 2-0, then I would consider the trade. But yeah, if you were,
I would take the Taylor, Keenan, MT side of that. As much as Jefferson is a stud, I mean, you're getting three studs for.
Well, it depends who you're. The team that traded away Taylor obviously has other running backs. Like, they're not going to start Etienne as the if the team that got. That got Jefferson has Etienne as their wide, as their running back two, or even in the flex, then I think that team loses the trade. But if, you know, if the team, if Etienne is just kind of like a whatever part of your team, then
like
take
the flex.
Then who cares, right? You know? If it's just like a flex, then who cares? Like, if you got lucky at running back, then Taylor for Jefferson is fair. Is it not?
Well, Jack's saying that he's 0-1, probably about to be 0-2. And now after making this trade, his backs are now Swift and JT. So he's got Swift awesome. And JT in his backfield, which is an awesome combo. And then he still has Keenan Allen. He still has Michael Thomas. So, like, he's still okay at wide receiver. I think you won that trade, Jack. I mean, it's fair.
0-2 trading for Keenan Allen, bro. You are walking on the razor's edge, man.
Yeah, you are.
You're playing the that's dipping in the spicy sauce, man. But hey, I love it, dude. Play to win.
Wait, is this who you traded? Did you trade King Showtime, who said that he just traded JT, MT, and Keenan Allen for Jefferson, Etienne, and Bateman? Wait, are you both here?
Now I got to know what Showtime's lineup is. Showtime.
Yeah, this is like the Craigslist misconnections, and both connections are posting right on top of each other.
He has Lenny, Etienne, and Dobbins, dude.
And he traded away JT with Lenny, Etienne, and Dobbins. I hope he's 2-0, because that's kind of risky on his end.
Yeah, you guys are
crazy. I'd kill to have one of those running backs. No, I actually, what? In King's Classic, my two running backs are Etienne and Dobbins, by the way.
Yeah, that's sick. He's got Allen, Michael Thomas, Pittman, London. Dude, Pittman's banged up too, bro. Jack, I love it, dude. You're gonna need some of that Wolverine healing ability before this next weekend, bro. You better send some care packages out. You need one of Pittman or Keenan Allen to play.
Well, yeah. Jack, Showtime, keep us posted. We want to know how this plays out for you both. So come back next week. Let us know how you guys are doing. League Besties meeting. That's right, Craig. We're going to have everybody's league meet here, talk crap about each other, talk about your trades, and let us talk about it.
We'll arbitrate trades, dude. Bring them over. I'll tell you. I mean, the trade is fair on paper. It's. I think, Jack, I think you're outside of your mind. For a trade, now you got like a whole stable full of hurt wide receivers, but bro, my wide receivers made a paper, he says. Put that up there. Yeah, for sure, dude. Hey, but if those guys come back, if you get one of those guys back full within the next week or two, you're going to be feeling good about it.
Jack, please rename your team Little Jackie Paper.
Little Jackie Paper, dude.
The paper trail. Boys.
Yeah, I like it though, man. I like the squad, dude. How's everybody doing in the Fantasy Besties League? Speaking of league meetings,
well, we're running late here, Coop. We got two games on today, so we're going to
want to talk about this game. I want to talk about our league that no one else can see or knows about.
Maybe next week. We'll revisit that next week when maybe I have a win under my belt in that league after coming in second.
I'm about to be 2-0. That's all I'm going to say.
I have a dicey matchup, but Jordan. I mean, I've. JB doesn't care, so who cares?
Yeah, I'm rebuilding.
What do you want to talk about, JB? What do you want to talk about?
I want to talk real quick about bad teams not really actually being that bad. And we're going to rapid fire it because we are up against it. We still need to get to Kevin Tompkins' injury report.
Rapid fire. Lions, Pats next. Pats, awesome. Bye.
The Lions, the Jaguars, and the Giants are all 2-0. These are teams that were like, like they're not relevant. But they are relevant. Or are they? So, rapid fire, real quick. Are any of these teams for real? And which one? Coop.
Pats.
Kev.
Out of the three you listed here, which is Lions, Jaguars, Giants, I'd probably lean the Lions, but I'm not super confident in that.
Saw some great stats on the Lions' offensive line that, like, their yards before contact is encroaching on, like, four, which is, like, insanity in this league.
Yeah, that's
and it makes it very wild. Difficult to lose if you can do that. And they did that, including a ton of snaps without Frank Ragnow now. So, that team.
Ragnow.
Yeah, so I think that they're probably good. Giants.
Luke?
I think of the teams that you mentioned, the one that has the best chance to actually make some noise and potentially make it into the playoffs is the Jaguars. Just by nature of the division that they're in, you just saw them shut out a division opponent yesterday in the Colts. So they finally have competent coaching. They do have Trevor Lawrence. And just a week ago, people were saying, well, why is Justin Fields and Trey Lance, they're getting all this flack and Trevor Lawrence just gets a pass? You saw yesterday, Trevor Lawrence is legit. He's going to be fine. So, you know, he has the weapons now. James Robinson is back. Looks like his, you know, putting that whole Achilles narrative to bed. So really they look pretty good. The defense is coming together as well. They've added a lot of new parts there. So, really actually impressed with them, and I think they have a chance in that division to make some noise.
I agree with you. That division is wide open, and I do think the Jaguars are for real. You know, we talked a little bit in one of our group chats today about that linebacker core. They have four linebackers that were first-round picks, and none of them have busted. They're all legit. They're all studs. Trevor Lawrence is a guy that you talked about as a generational talent coming into the league. You add guys like Christian Kirk, Evan Engram. You talk about the two-headed monster in the backfield. That team has the pieces to be good. So if you're beating divisional opponents and beating the pants off of divisional opponents like that, you're showing that you're legit. And I do agree, Loop, that that division's open enough for them to be a playoff team. I think the Lions can actually be real too, Kev. I agree with you on that. But they need to get some stops. I mean, they have some, you know, high motor linebackers we talked about last week, but their secondary is just getting beat up every single week. So if they can get some stops on defense, yeah, they could run the ball. We talked about Amon-Ra. We talk about Goff a little bit. So that's a team that definitely could be legit if they can get some stops on defense. Giants, like you said, Coop, nah, not buying into it. So what I do buy into is the Kevin Tompkins injury report. Kev, take us through this week's injuries.
The heck was that?
It's the Kevin Tompkins intro, but he has to come off mute for it to really have an effect.
I love the hat. Dude.
Yeah. The doctor is in. Welcome to the Kevin Tompkins injury report. I am the aforementioned Kevin Tompkins. So let's talk about some injuries. Also, just want to make sure if you did see it in the intro, not a medical doctor, no training whatsoever. Trey Lance, I think we need to pour one out for our dear departed. I mean, he's still alive. He's just not going to play fantasy football or any kind of football this year. We'll miss 2022 with broken ankle. Per sources, they did say it is not a compound fracture. So some good news there. Thank you, Coop. Will require surgery. So if you have him, yes, I am a non-medical doctor. I am in league with Dr. McGillicuddy and Dr. Pepper. Thank you so much for that, Craig.
Dr. Nick from The Simpsons.
Hi, everybody. So yeah, you can drop him in seasonal leagues. Arizona running back James Conner did not return. He had an ankle injury. It is not considered serious or long term, but week three is up in the air versus the Rams. So with the we'll talk about waivers a little bit here, but I would look to one of either Eno Benjamin or Darrell Williams to get the nod if Connor is not able to play. Jerry Jeudy, who we talked about a little bit earlier, Broncos wide receiver, exited the game in the first quarter with what looks to be a sternum chest injury. is day to day, still up in the air, but you're going to have to keep your eyes peeled on news reports, because that could be, I mean, the Broncos are already kind of in shambles on offense. They did not look that great. That could be a huge blow, even bigger blow to the Broncos offense. Dalton Schultz missed the game-winning drive for the Cowboys versus the Bengals with a knee injury. MRI today didn't show that he is likely to avoid a significant absence. By the language, it does sound like he should be counted out of week three plans, but we'll see what news we get in the week. Just the fact that it's not a significant absence, it looks like, is a good sign, but might be a 1 to 2 week injury for him. So definitely scour those tight ends. We talked about Juwan Johnson, potentially even a Gerald Everett if he is out there, as far as tight ends, if you need to go pick one up. Jacoby Brissett said in the post-game interview for the Browns against the Jets that he was dealing with an ankle injury. Said he feels okay to play this Thursday night against the Pittsburgh Steelers. Devin Duvernay placed in concussion protocol, left the game, so that is very fluid, as we all know with concussions. And then one that just came through about maybe an hour ago is Tyrion Davis-Price, a high ankle sprain, typically a 4 to 6 week injury window. So if you have him stashed and want to keep him stashed, you're losing a bench spot for likely that long. So that makes Jordan Mason even that more enticing for the 49ers. Obviously, Jeff Wilson is kind of in play there behind with Jimmy Garoppolo there. Trey Lance is going to be taking a lot of that rushing work. So probably an uptick, at least in the workload for those 49ers running backs. So that might put Jordan Mason at least into deep flex consideration. That's all I got for the doctor is now out.
Nice, Kev. Thanks for that. And you did mention a couple of 49ers there in the injury report, and TDP was actually getting some burn out there. So Mason might be a guy you want to look at in waivers, because, you know, you see they're not really giving Wilson the entire workload there. You did mix in TDP there. So Mason might be a good add. And obviously, the Trey Lance injury is the one that everyone's talking about. So Jimmy G is a guy who you're going to look at on the waivers. If you're somebody who rostered Trey Lance, you might want to just pivot right to Jimmy G. Is there any other big waiver targets that any of you are looking at?
I mean, other than like maybe
spend all your money on Tua.
If he's out there.
I think Raheem Mostert's moderately interesting, knowing what Chase Edmonds,
why wouldn't Tua be out there? I like Mostert a lot, actually. Mostert's a great, great option there as well. It's a hot hand situation though, so he could fall off quick, but I don't know, man. I already have Tua in a couple leagues because I'm like a genius and stuff, but like in the other leagues, I'm trying to get him. He looked great. Especially when I saw that video of him where the dude swapped it around so it looked like he was right-handed.
Yeah.
I was like, wait a second. This guy looks like a normal dude now. It's like, I was like, wait a second, dude. Maybe James Harden is a good three-point shooter. It just looks weird because he's left-handed.
And what I like about Tua and picking Tua up is that you don't really have to count on Tua being that good. Like I said, he's got a couple of playmakers on that offense. So as long as he gets the ball in their hands, they can do the work for him and make him look good.
Go back and watch Jamar Chase highlights from last year. Yes, he got loose a little bit, but there were times where he got behind everybody. It was easy throw. And there were times where you just got him the ball and it was one cut off to the house. Like that play versus the Cowboys. It was like, sick touchdown pass, Joe Burrow. You know what I mean? Like, it's like Dez Bryant used to do that all the time too. A lot of those guys, Randy Moss.
Michael Thomas, slant boy.
Right. Used to throw screens to Randy Moss and he would just be gone. You know what I mean? So like if you got good enough guys, I imagine that's a lot of fun. One time my favorite team had Randy Moss and he set the record for touchdowns. And then we never had a good wide receiver again before or after.
Want to know who the most productive Dallas Cowboys wide receiver has been over two weeks?
Noah Brown.
But I think that's a lot of that is the like backup quarterback corollary where they have a couple timing routes from practice. CD will come around, I think.
But even in week one, Coop, he had 9 targets, and that's a guy who, you know, we were talking about Joe Bond and I in our Pros with Joe's team. We had to make a drop to pick up a quarterback, and we ended up dropping Noah Brown because I was like, you know, he had 9 targets. I'd like to keep him, but, you know, he was the bottom of our depth chart, and we even talked about it, like, well, maybe he'll have a connection with Cooper Rush, but it's like, well, that's not going to be long-term because we lost Dak, so we needed to make a pickup for a quarterback. So it ended up biting us because Noah Brown went off, but you know, that might be something that doesn't pan out long term. So it could be a quick fix ad for somebody right now.
Yeah, like he went from 85% in week one routes to 94%, 43% of the air yards. If Dalton Schultz is going to be out for a week or two, I mean, even more condensed offense in Dallas. I mean, you're going to throw the ball to Semi Fajoko or Peyton Hendershot. As far as like boundary wide receivers or even just any wide receivers, it's CeeDee Lamb and Noah Brown right now.
So here's the thing, Kev. I think Gallup comes back next week. And I was going to say, if Gallup's a guy that people weren't stashing, or maybe somebody that was stashing him had to drop him, didn't have an IR spot, that's a guy you look to go pick up, because I think he comes back next week. And how does that affect Noah Brown? You know, maybe they move him into the slot, or they move CeeDee Lamb around a little bit into the slot and get him going again. So, you know, I think you can still
use Brown at least this week. I mean, I don't think they're going to run Gallup out and immediately give him like 85% of routes. I don't think that's going to happen. Yep. But I think at least, you know, if you can get probably another week out of Noah Brown, at least some production, I think he'll be good.
Boys, I think he's starting to look like your classic fifth year breakout here.
a little Devontae Parker action.
A little Parker mode, dude. Just needed Parker like seven or eight injuries, and that puppy is flying.
So two Monday night games, guys. One of them's already on. The other one's going to be starting soon. Of those two games, what are you looking forward to the most, Luke?
Titans winning. Sorry.
What I'm looking forward to the most is seeing if Adam Thielen can get it going this week, or if it's just the Justin Jefferson show from now on. But, you know, they have KJ Osborne. They have Adam Thielen there. They're out there running the routes and playing and that type of stuff, but need to get more involved. And like you saw with Devontae Adams, and I think I saw Coop say something about this last week, there's going to be weeks where it's going to have to be Thielen as the guy. Like, Justin Jefferson's not going to be every single week. So just like Devontae Adams had 12 yards this week. So Hunter Renfro had a lot of targets. Darren Waller was a lot more involved. Mac Hollins even. So I think that there are going to be weeks for Thielen, and I'm hoping it's tonight because I've got a lot of Adam Thielen.
Thielen, Devonta Adams. I mean, like, it can't – I mean, maybe these guys are the Cooper Cups of the world, and it's just going to be them every single week, and then, you know, maybe they can't do anything as the second guys. But they both – literally between the two guys, between Devonta Smith and Adam Thielen, if you combine their week ones, there was only one pass play where they weren't on the field. Adam Thielen played all 34 pass plays. Devonta Smith took one off. He played 98% of the pass plays. He's probably not going to go 0-for-4 every week. If he does, then he will be the Kevin Tompkins all-exercise team champion. We might have to shut the all-exercise team down, right, Kev?
Who better at that point?
Jalen Guyton, out of the way. Move over.
Ian Thomas,
GTFO. Star. Ian Thomas is a star.
He's a Lifetime Achievement Award winner from last year.
Damir Bird, take a back seat.
So is there an all-exercise team member that you're looking for tonight, Coop, or is there an actual player that you're looking to watch?
Devonta Smith. Like, he ran 98% of the routes, played 96% of the snaps last week, and he had zero fantasy points. If he touched the football,
does not compete.
He hit the ground shortly after.
Kev, is there a number two wide receiver that you're looking for also this week?
I'm just looking for both teams to have fun. And nobody.
All right, Linda.
I'll play the Linda move. Hey, Linda's not here.
We're calling it. I got to eat dinner. Come on. Both teams have fun.
That's a Linda call, Kev.
Well, Linda's not here. Someone's got to do it.
I need about 30 points from Devin Singletary and AJ Brown to win my FFPC matchup. I don't know that it's going to happen, but I am curious to see if AJ Brown continues that connection with Jalen Hurts. You know, it's kind of opposite what Coop was talking about, because I do think Devonta Smith gets involved more this week than obviously he was last week. But I look to see if that connection is still there, and that's going to be an established connection with A.J. Brown for the rest of the season. It'll be a good test against Minnesota. It could be a shootout here tonight, so it should be a fun game to watch. And I think they're going to need to have that connection. So that's what I'm going to be watching here tonight. Guys, fun show, as always. Fantasy Besties is always a good time. I want to thank the audience for coming out here. Everybody who came in with their questions in the comments, Craig, Scampers, all the regular supporters. Appreciate you all being here. As always, thank you to Razzball for hosting us on their YouTube channel. Definitely go to Razzball YouTube. Check us out, razzball.com. You could find it on the Fantasy Besties Twitter page. If you're watching the game and you missed us live, you want to rewatch us tomorrow, you could find us on the Fantasy Besties Twitter page and on razzball.com. Guys, for Kevin, Coop, Loop, and for Linda, who's not here, I'm JB Barry. We're the Fantasy Besties. Have a great week. We'll see you next Monday.
Breaking news coming in from Bet365, and it's no surprise. Same Game Parlay from Bet365 just keeps getting better.
Well, it's even easier to make a bet. Choose from the most popular markets like hits, run line, totals, and home runs. So many to choose from.
Download the app, start building your bet, and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.